church. Good to have you all with us tonight. We're continuing our series entitled "I Boast in the Cross" and looking at different aspects and different things that come to mind when we consider the cross of Jesus, using Galatians chapter 6, verse 14 as kind of our launching pad verse. But it says, Paul writes, "But may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." You notice on our title slide here tonight, we've got giving thanks for the cross, giving thanks for the cross, and how we should be thankful and reasons to be thankful for that, and what showing thanks for the cross is all about. Got a list of things here that you may or may not agree with, but I found that somebody wrote down on that they are thankful for. It says, "I am thankful for the mess the thing I'm after a party because it means that I was surrounded by friends. I'm thankful for the taxes I pay because it means that I'm employed. I'm thankful for the clothes that fit a little too snug because it means that I have enough to eat. I'm thankful for my shadow who watches me work because it means I'm outside in the sunshine. I'm thankful for the spot I find at the far end of the parking lot because it means I am capable of walking. I am thankful for all the complaining I hear about our government because it reminds me that we do have freedom of speech. May not have it gone, but we do have it now, and people sure put it to good use. And many times Christians are just as bad as the world when it comes to that. I am thankful for the baby crying in church because it means that I can hear. I'm thankful for the lawn that needs mowing, the windows that need cleaning, the gutters that need fixing because it means that I have a home. I'm thankful for my huge heating bill because it means that I'm warm. I'm thankful for the weariness of the aching muscles at the end of the day because it means that I've been able to be productive. And I'm thankful for that alarm that goes off in the wee early morning hours because it means I'm alive." And so as we look at these things, there are many things for us to be thankful for. But as we look tonight, I want to turn our thoughts and our reflections towards that of being thankful for the cross. The cross that Jesus Christ died on. The cross that we did not have to bear. The cross that made it possible for us to go to heaven with Him one day. The first thing I want for us to consider this evening is the recognition of the cross. The recognition of the cross. And of course, today, all throughout Christianity, and I mean that by all various forms and stripes, and however you want to call it, even the denominational world, that we see the cross and we are reminded of what Jesus Christ did for that, for us on that cross. So there is a recognition of the cross that comes to all people's minds. That's why the Jews don't have a cross. They have the Star of David that they look at. We have our Muslims, Islamic faith, that look to the moon and the crescent moon and the star and different things like that. And so when we look at the cross, we ought to be reminded of what Jesus Christ did for us. There are many things that come to mind, but the recognition of the cross is to recognize something is to give acknowledgement of its existence. And there are many in the world today that try to not recognize the cross or to ignore the cross because they don't want to acknowledge the existence. They don't want to acknowledge what Jesus Christ did for us. But I'm here to let you know, as a preacher of the gospel, that if it wasn't for the cross of Jesus Christ, we'd all be lost still to this day. And we need to understand what the cross did. Just because you may recognize something, though, doesn't mean that you respect it. And there are those that we are familiar with as well that at least recognize the cross of Christ, but will not respect it. The world, and even the religious world, recognizes the cross, but very few actually respect what took place on it. Do you know how I know that? That's not just a preacher talking. How do I know that very few people actually, really, truly respect and recognize what happened on the cross? Because they actually do what Jesus asked them to do. And we can meet and talk and discuss with all sorts of different ones across the board that they may say they appreciate or that they recognize the cross, but until we respect it enough to do what Jesus Christ, the one who died on that cross for us, has asked us to do, because Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And he has asked us to follow him. John 19:17, talking about the recognition of the cross, as they took Jesus therefore, and he went out, bearing his own cross, to the place called the place of the skull, which in Hebrew is called, Golgotha. One day, the great Italian Renaissance architect, Michelangelo, happened to overhear a group of people admiring one of his art pieces, the statue that he made called the Pietà, a statue of Christ after his death and his mother on his, and on his mother's knees, and maybe you've seen that before, after they take him down off the cross, it shows Christ laying on his mother's knees. One day, as they were looking at this piece of artwork back in the day when it was first sculpted, commented that he believes that it was this such and such a man that sculpted this, much to the chagrin of Michelangelo as he was standing there, who took particular pride in this Pietà, returning to the sculpture after dark that evening with a hammer and chisel, he carved his name on the base of that statue so that no similar mistake would occur in the future. And so I couldn't help but think of that. So yes, we all may, you know, even if I put a picture up there and didn't tell you who the guy was, we might all have our guesses on who was the one that sculpted this this great masterpiece, if you will. And some may get it right, some may not. But I guarantee you, worldwide, if I put a picture of a cross up and ask you who died on that for all man's sins, people know. There is no confusion there. They recognize that Jesus Christ did that. Jesus Christ suffered and did that. And yet, as we try to tie this into the thankfulness of that, it's because of what Jesus did on the cross that we can make our request known. In Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Read the book of Hebrews sometime, talking about how Christ is the ultimate sacrifice. He is the better sacrifice, as was given all through the Old Testament, that the sacrifices that had to take place, and how Christ is the ultimate one of that. It's because of him now sitting down at the right hand of the throne of God that we can boldly approach that throne, just through Jesus Christ. Are we thankful for that? Are we thankful for what Jesus Christ has done? Jonah 2:9 says, but I will sacrifice to you the voice of thanksgiving. That which I vow, I will pay. Salvation is from the Lord. You make a promise to the Lord, and we do well to keep it. But he does remind us another thing. If you make a promise to anyone, we need to keep it. But it is a reminder to us that Jesus was going to come and do something that would change all of history, that we would go back and look that this is where we can claim our salvation came from, is giving the proper recognition to what took place on the cross of Calvary. Not only do we notice the recognition of the cross, but we also take appreciation of the cross, the appreciation of the cross. To have an appreciation for something that has, that means to have an understanding about that something. We may even times given appreciation for some of the things we don't understand. No, I don't understand how you did that, but I sure appreciate that you did. But having appreciation for things in our life shouldn't be the end all be all. It shouldn't just be appreciative for what has been done for us. We reciprocate that back. Luke chapter 23, verses 4, 14, and 22, it tells us the reason why we should find appreciation in the cross. Because as we see there over and over again, it says that I found no guilt in this man. It wasn't someone who deserved to die, someone that was wicked, someone that was evil, that needed to die. This was an innocent man, Jesus Christ, that died for us. For Pilate to say that he found no fault in this man was for him to say that he knew Christ was not deserving of the cruelty of the cross. And yet this was just going to be the beginning of what the shame that he was going to suffer on our behalf. And so even Pilate, who knew that he wasn't deserving of this, appreciated to a certain degree what was going to take place, because he knew that this was an innocent man going to the cross. Psalm 50, verses 23, the first portion of that says, "He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me." He who offers the sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me. We need to let God know that we are appreciative, that we appreciate what he's done for us. One who would agree was the wife of an old farmer named Eb. Old Eb was like many of his time, rather stingy with words. He said very little, and then when he did say them, he said them rather grudgingly. One evening he was sitting at the front steps with his wife. The long day's work, the good supper, and the peaceful sights around him, and the sounds of dust moving in must have softened him up just a little bit. Because Eb looks towards his wife and said to her, "You know, when I think of what you've meant to me all these years, Judith, sometimes it's almost more than I can stand to tell you." Okay, we need to let people know a little more how appreciative we are. Sometimes we can dumb it down real hard to make it where it's almost as if, do we appreciate them? So we need to understand how much we do appreciate what Jesus did for us on the cross. Psalm 100, perhaps one of the greatest psalms of thanksgiving that we know. "To shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth, serve the Lord with gladness." Or serve the Lord with gladness. "Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves." Right? "We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and his faithfulness to all generations." Are we appreciative? Do we really, truly appreciate what Jesus Christ has done for us? And then we look at there being an obligation of the cross. An obligation. And many times we look at, I've got an obligation to do this. But we ought to consider ourselves fortunate to be obligated to things at times. But the obligation of the cross, if we recognize the power of the cross and even appreciate what transpired there, then we have an obligation to be obedient to the cross, do we not? Colossians 4:2 says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving." Be devoted to prayer. Keeping alert. And have that spirit or the attitude of thanksgiving. This is our obligation that we have to the cross. Now, mind you, we don't pray to the cross. We do pray to the Father through Jesus Christ. But we thank him for what happened on the cross. We are able to go to God the Father in prayer because of that sacrifice that took place on the cross. Revelation chapter 7, verses 11 through 12 says this. And all the angels were standing around the throne, and around the elders, and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. We have the obligation, as Christians to worship the one who gave all for us. We have an obligation to what took place on the cross, because that is what gave us the freedom that we do have today. In Revelation 7 there, it says, this is saying that the angels represents the creatures of all heaven and earth. The elders represent all mankind, old and new, for all time. And the four living creatures or beasts represent all heavenly hosts of the created, specifically to serve the great God Almighty, who was and is and who is to come. It is our obligation now and for all eternity to show our attitude of gratitude and be thankful. It's our obligation to show the Lord how thankful we are for what took place on the cross. As we bring this to a close this evening, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 22 says this. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you were formerly far off and been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity that for which is the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one, new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through what? Through the cross. By it having put to death the enmity, and he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, and you are God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. That's a passage of scripture that I have read many times through the years at different funerals that I have preached. And I don't read that whole passage, but we break down different parts of that. And specifically, is a reminder there in verse 12 that you were at one time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. And what I want for us as the church to understand, that maybe many times those that I'm preaching to when I do the funeral services there, and that's why I skip through some of that, is because they many times don't get it. They don't know. But the church, this is a reminder that Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, to those that are Christians, those that were outside in the world and have now been brought to the side of Jesus Christ, that they were Gentiles, that they were separated from the commonwealth of Israel, to even consider themselves to being an Israelite is something that was far beyond their scope of imagination ever. And not that it's a great thing to be an Israelite, but it's a great thing to be a child of God. And that's what is being shared there. And in verse 17 then, actually verse 16, it says, and they might reconcile the both in one body. Who's that? Jesus Christ. This is a reminder that Jesus Christ died for those that were already in his family, if you will, the Israelites. And he died for those that were outside his family. So who, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ left the glory and the splendor of heaven, not to just die for one certain group of people, unless you want to classify it as he died for all mankind. But he died for each and every individual. And then it says there, verse 17, and he came and preached peace to you who were far away, that's us, the Gentiles, and peace to those who were near, those are the Jews at that time. And guess what? What he's letting us know today, that whether you were raised in the church, as many of us we shared this morning, or you've been in the outside, that same message is being preached to you today, tonight. It brings you that you are responsible for you coming to the Lord. So that we are fellow citizens with saints. We are part of God's household that he is building together. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you. And he wants for us to be with him for all time. And that is all his children. The whole building being fitted together, growing into a temple of the Lord, in whom you are also being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Then take that and go back to that Revelation chapter 7 passage that we talked about, and the worship and the glory that's going and taking on around the throne. And just try to even put that into our own imaginations and way of thinking of how glorious heaven is going to be when we get to praise the Lamb that was sacrificed for us for all eternity. The Lamb of God that now lives forever. We give thanks for the cross. We give thanks for Jesus Christ. We give thanks. I don't think that we will ever fully, totally understand this side of heaven, how thankful we should be for this opportunity we have to bear the name Christian because of what took place on the cross. We need to be ever mindful of our obligation, the appreciation that we need to have, and the recognition of what took place on there. Even though it was so long ago, it's every bit as effective for us today. We're going to sing our song of invitation this evening as if they get ready to head up front as we go through the plan of salvation. John chapter 8, verse 24 says, therefore I said to you, that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Jesus died for us. Only the Son of God could go to the cross and do what he did. Do we believe that? Are we willing to repent? Luke 13:3 says, I tell you no, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And we need to confess Jesus Christ. Therefore, everyone who confesses me before man, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. Be immersed in Jesus Christ. Mark 16:16, he who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned and then be faithful. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Please stand with us as they lead us in our song this evening. Oh,
time we're running second communion song, and if you are a Christian, you kind of have a chance to gather in the Lord's table today, please come forward and sing with that, and that's the main goal. Be here with me. Yeah, I guess I'll forget you, I'm sorry.